You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Calling all writers and would-be writers, the fabulous Stephanie Wilder Taylor and I are conducting a virtual pitching workshop. That's pitching your article, pitching your book, pitching your essay. It's going to happen on October 23rd, that's a Saturday, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific time. We'll tell you everything we know about getting your work published online to build up your resume. It will also include an up-to-date list of over 80 places to send your stuff. You get to walk away with that. Let me know if you want a spot or pass it along to anybody who might be interested, please. The price for the workshop is $135, and you can register by emailing Stephanie here, stephaniewildertaylor@gmail.com. That's stephaniewildertaylor@gmail.com. This podcast is being brought to you by Voyage AC.
Hey, that's my line.
I thought we'd switch it up a little, just how I switched our old thermosy water bottles to Voyage AC's elegant biophotonic water bottles.
Ah, yes, the old biophotonic water bottle. Can I tell you a little bit about these bottles?
Oh, please tell us, hon.
The violet glass has a higher frequency than any other form of light, and it's also the same frequency as the human nervous system.
Wow. I was just going to say that the bottle is pretty, and it makes my water taste good.
It's all that, and it's good for you because you can actually charge the bottle in direct sunlight for an hour to allow the UV rays to penetrate the glass and boost the water.
Okay, now, Bill Nye, the science guy. Mm-hmm. You'll want to check out all of Voyage AC's wellness products, along with their gorgeous face and body products, beautiful scents, and phenomenal candles. So how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find Voyage AC on our brand new website at theonlyonepod.com, or you can go to www.voyageac.com directly. That's VOYAGEETCIE.com.
And as you know, Melanie is always willing to give my friends and family discount to all our listeners right now. That's 10% off everything you buy.
All you need to do is enter the only one at checkout.
That's right. All you have to do is enter the only one when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is the ultimate luxury blend of travel, design, and sense. And this podcast is supported by Cute Booty Lounge. I am so grateful because I love their fall colors. You know, I just had to get several pair because I literally live in these leggings and tops.
Yes, you do. And how cool is it that we get to promote a friend's business? Kelly Nishimoto and her whole team have become really good friends of The Only One in the Room.
Oh, we really love them.
Mm-hmm. And how strong and athletic you look in your leggings too, hon.
Thank you, honey. Mm-hmm. I know I feel like an athlete in my cute booty leggings. I'm sexy, confident, and strong. Cute Booty Lounge is made right here in the USA by women and for women. The company is incredible, female and minority owned. Everything they make makes your booty look amazing. Dresses, tops, loungewear, sleepwear. And their leggings have these super cute patented scrunch butt pockets. There's a cute booty style for everyone, even you, hun, because they started making men's briefs.
All right.
We have to get you some. Mm-hmm. Cute Booty Lounge has you covered. Embrace your body and love your booty.
And to make the deal even sweeter, head to cutebooty.com and enter the code THEONLYBOOTY to get 15% off your first order.
And if you're like me and you want to get your holiday shopping done early, and everyone loves getting a Cute Booty package, so go ahead and order.
Right. So head to cutebooty.com and enter the code THEONLYBOOTY to get 15% off your first order.
Hey, I want to tell you about my new favorite show, Me Becoming Mom, from People Magazine. People editor Zoe Ruderman is sitting down with famous women to hear all about their journeys to motherhood. She talks to celebs about everything from trying to conceive for years to surprise pregnancies, IVF to surrogacy, adoption to unexpected home births. Nothing is off limits in these emotional, candid, sometimes heartbreaking, but always heartwarming interviews. You'll hear from your favorite famous moms like Hoda Kotb, Alyssa Milano, Shawn Johnson, and more. So be sure to tune in and subscribe to Me Becoming Mom.
I'm Tanya Evans, and I'm the only Black queer woman in the room explaining blockchain and crypto. The power of not relying on some intermediary to charge a premium for the privilege of accessing creativity. And I say the same thing for finance. And it's that peer-to-peer technology that really empowers people to be able to make peer-to-peer transactions without a bank. There are a lot of people who are unbanked or underbanked and therefore can't participate meaningfully in culture, in society, in business, in interactions, in contracts. And so crypto is the way that I believe that we will be able to do that going forward.
What if you, a tenured professor at a prestigious university, wanted to buy your mother a home, and the bank treated you like a suspect instead of a prospect? Dr. Tanya Evans, professor at Penn State Dickinson Law School, who was recently named to the Forbes 50 over 50 list in the category of investment, teaches her students how cryptocurrency can bypass the old guard gatekeepers and be the key to creating generational wealth for everyone, but especially for our underserved communities. But what would you do if an entire institution was threatened by the fact that you are educating others about a new currency that doesn't involve gold, banks, or brokers? Would you change your curriculum to something safer? Or would you create a popular course called From Cash to Crypto and explain how blockchain works to the world? Hi, I'm Laura Cathcart Robbins, and this is The Only One in the Room. In September 2018, I found myself in an all too familiar position. Looking around the room at the other attendees at a famed writer's retreat, I realized that I was the only Black woman in the room. When I wrote about my experience for the Huffington Post, something surprising happened. 24 hours after my piece went live, I had 568 direct messages in my inbox. These were messages from people of all races, ethnicities, creeds, and nationalities who had connected with my piece because they too had felt othered. These are the stories we want to share. This podcast is for anyone who has ever felt alone in a room full of people, which is to say that this podcast is for everyone. You're listening to The Only One in the Room, presented by Lipstick and Vinyl and executively produced by Christina Barcy. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to like and leave us a review of your thoughts on the show. And if you have an Only One in the Room story you'd like to share, you can DM us on Instagram at The Only One in the Room. Enjoy the show. Tanya Evans. Hello, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Oh, we are so happy to have you here in the studio with us. What a treat. What a treat. And we just happened to be able to catch up with you while you're on this coast, which is one of those magical things that happens in the universe where you and I are talking and you're like, hey, I'm going to be...
Just going to be in
there. In LA.
Yep.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, it was perfect timing. The way that the stars aligned so that we would even be introduced.
Exactly.
And then
exactly.
Especially at such a time as this to actually be on the same coast at the same time. So it's good.
Yes, we are fortunate. My first question to you is, what is the first tangible thing that you purchase with Bitcoin or crypto?
Oh, boy. It's interesting with Bitcoin because it's the type of thing people really treat it more like gold than something you spend
right
on an item.
Yes.
The original vision for Bitcoin was that it would be peer-to-peer cash. And we'd use it to buy water and food and anything that we needed. Probably the first thing I used Bitcoin to buy was another type of crypto.
Ah, right.
So was it, you know, I guess, is that intangible, tangible?
It's both, right?
Yeah.
And then what was the first thing you purchased with crypto?
The first thing I purchased with crypto is probably a non-fungible token. I stayed within the ecosystem.
You did, yeah.
But the first big boom that I ever engaged in was really pulling money out so that I can buy bigger things in the world. So
Yes. Obviously
things that have really meant a lot to my family in particular, and a home for my mom.
Right, which we're going to talk about.
Yes.
That is so exciting.
Yeah.
That was kind of what I was getting at with this question, because that really blew me away when you and I talked about it earlier. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
I'm Laura Cathcart-Robbins. This is The Only One in the Room, but I'm never the only one in this room, especially today. There are four people here. but my producer, co-host, and boyfriend, Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, is also here.
Hi, honey.
So we're talking to Tanya M. Evans, and I'm just going to tell you a little bit about her. She is a global leader, accomplished academic and administrator, and a world-renowned speaker with over 20 years of experience in law, innovation, academia, and entrepreneurship. Dr. Evans currently serves as a tenured full professor at Penn State Dickinson Law School. Professor Evans was named to the prestigious Forbes 50 over 50 list in the category of investment to honor 50 women who are shaping the future of finance, fueling high-growth businesses, and forging a more innovative and inclusive financial future. She was also named to the Fast Case 50 of 2021 list, an annual award that recognizes 50 of the smartest, most courageous innovators, techies, visionaries, and leaders in the law. What? In 2018, Professor Evans received the inaugural Blockchain Enterprise Award in the category of governance and policy leadership during the Blockchain Revolution Global Conference in Toronto. And recently, Professor Evans created the Advantage Evans, that's trademarked Academy, and launched her popular course From Cash to Crypto, an NFT law guide for creatives, that's me, and collectors. She also hosts a weekly podcast. It's called The Tech Intersect, and that deals with law, business, and technology.
Show's over, y'all.
That's it.
Wow. And that is Dr. Tanya Evans. Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's been a whirlwind, especially this past year.
Yeah.
And for so many, it feels as if I've come out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, as well as I do, that nothing ever happens overnight.
No, no. And right at the top of this, and we could have done it in a couple of minutes earlier, but I want to thank Jennifer Thompson.
Yes.
For putting us together. The email she sent me was very quick and clear. I have someone that is perfect for you to know and to have on your podcast. And I didn't even care who it was. I was like, I'm in. And then it was you, which I was just like, oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
She's perfect. And I do need this woman in my life. So
I appreciate you and her so much.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know Jennifer because I sit on the advisory board of the San Diego Writers Festival.
Okay.
Where I've spoken and taught before.
Okay.
So during their festivals. And it's been truly an honor and a privilege to
do
so.
I've known her for 20 plus years.
She has amazing hair, doesn't she?
She is.
Oh, my goodness.
She still looks like a million bucks.
She does.
So
yeah.
I adore her.
I mean, I've only known her for a couple years, but she looks like a million bucks. So. I always ask everybody, and a little bit of this is in your only one statement, but how do you identify?
I identify as a Black queer woman on the margins and pulling everybody up and lifting as I climb.
Yes. I like the lifting as I climb. When we talked, you said something that struck me and I kept with me. If finance and tech had a baby, what would it be?
It would be crypto.
It would be crypto. So do we want to explain, or do you want to explain what cryptocurrency is first, or blockchain?
So let me say a bit about blockchain first, because
okay.
it makes it easier to talk about crypto.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that uses jargon in order to explain it has already lost people. Because
yes.
most people do not know how their car works. I do not look underneath the hood. I do know what it does for me.
Yes.
And so I really do look forward to the day when we're not talking about the technical aspects of blockchain or crypto, quite frankly. Blockchain is just a digital record. It's a record of transactions and balances. And those transactions and balances in the crypto space happen to be how many Bitcoin I have and when I send Bitcoin to you. And that's all blockchain does, but it does it in a decentralized way that doesn't rely on a bank or government or any centralized intermediary in order to be the go-between to facilitate that transaction. And it makes me think of peer-to-peer technology at the end of the 90s when people are exchanging MP3s. Now, there are a lot of problems with that. I'm a creative person. You are too.
Mm-hmm.
But I also understand the power of not relying on some intermediary to charge a premium for the privilege of accessing creativity. And I say the same thing for finance. And it's that peer-to-peer technology that really empowers people to be able to make peer-to-peer transactions without a bank, which, and I know that we'll talk about it, but there are a lot of people who are unbanked or underbanked and therefore can't participate meaningfully in culture, in society, in business, in interactions, in contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And so crypto is the way that I believe that we will be able to do that going forward.
Okay, I have 10 million questions already.
Oh, it's working. My diabolical plan is working. Yes.
So blockchain, so is it kind of like a ledger?
Yes.
If it's not the government and it's not banks, who keeps the ledger?
This gets tiny bit jargony, but stay with me, by a network of computers instead. And one of the best ways to explain is to understand how the internet originated and where we are now. In Web 1.0, it was really a client-server model, which means there was this server that had information and disseminated it in a unidirectional way. Clients are computers, and so you have a server and information flowing one way.
Mm-hmm.
And the computers didn't talk to each other. It was only receiving information from the server. 2.0 is where we are now. You still have centralized servers, to be sure. The big tech companies of the world own most of our data. I have a huge problem with that. That's probably a story for another topic, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
even the headlines recently that talk
today,
about that,
yeah.
right? To see what's going on with the Facebooks of the world and all of that, it's very problematic because it is not decentralized in the way that we had imagined that Web 2.0 would be. You have a lot of interaction between computers. I could send you something. You are not just receiving information, you're also a creator and you're a distributor of information. So that's Web 2.0. We're content creators. We do a lot of things in the Web 2.0 world, but there's still these centralized intermediaries that control all the data.
I see.
So in a Web 3.0 world, you remove them. It's all peer-to-peer. It's all computers, mini computers talking to each other and agreeing to the central source of truth of these transactions and balances.
Mm-hmm.
So that means, and a common example of this, everybody's had a group text, right? You have a bunch of people texting, you delete it off of your phone, but everybody else still has it.
Right.
And unless and until that last person deletes it, there's always a record of the quote-unquote transactions, which is the information that you all were sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, you start to think about what it is in a truly distributed or decentralized way. Now, it's a rough analogy because, of course, there's this other company in the background who also keeps it.
Right.
But as it relates to the people who are exchanging that information in that text string, that's a good way to think about it. You delete it off of your phone. It still exists in other areas. And that's the decentralized ledger that still maintains that record.
Right. So the record, it still exists whether or not you participate.
That's correct.
So then can you explain what cryptocurrency is?
Crypto is a purely digital form of value exchange. We can even think back to times where before there was a dollar, before there was paper currency, before there were currencies, there were a lot of different ways that communities exchanged value.
Yeah.
Shells, salt, sugar, unfortunately, humans, right? Many different ways that you can exchange value. As a community started to reach beyond their small insular community and had to transact with those who they didn't trust, they needed to find someone or something or some entity that they did trust. I don't know the tribe across the way, but I know this government or I know this entity who I'm going to pay for the privilege of entering into transactions with these other folks. Mm. And so that's where you get those who would escrow funds and right. all sorts of other right. intermediaries in that way. And so as culture and community continue to expand and to grow, there had to be ways to transact in business with people whom you didn't trust. And so those trusted intermediaries entered the scene. Unfortunately, we look at these points in history, 2007 immediately comes to mind. Mm. Right at the beginning of the real estate crisis.
Right.
And it wasn't an unfortunate thing that happened. There were a number of people who knew about it. None of them actually went to jail. That's also a story for another day.
Right.
But that was also
and around. There was a few movies, too.
A few movies.
Yes.
Very scary movies. Mm-hmm. A lot going on in those movies. But it was around the same time that Satoshi Nakamoto, whoever he, she, or they are, decided to also launch Bitcoin, which was launched in 2009.
Okay.
And so you can start to see the overlap of the crisis of trust mm-hmm. and the crisis of confidence in big business and in government, and to find a way to go back to a time on a global scale when you can actually interact peer-to-peer.
Wow. So it's 12 years old.
Yes.
Wow. That's amazing. And I didn't realize that. I'm just marinating in that for a second. So thank you for those explanations. Mm-hmm. One of the things that was really interesting to me is we talked about, or you were explaining to me how crypto can particularly benefit marginalized people. Why is that?
It's interesting. I'll come at this a couple of different ways, because originally we talked about unbanked and underbanked people who cannot participate meaningfully in life, literally.
Do you know what percentage of us that is or around?
I don't have it in front of me in my head,
okay.
But it is not an insignificant number, both here in the United States and certainly around the
certainly
world.
Certainly around the world, it's huge.
It's easier
yeah.
to identify that number yeah. where you yeah. can have the large percentage of people.
Right.
And when you think about the centralization of power, mm-hmm. it usually rests, and by usually I mean always, on the amount of money and more specifically property that you have.
Right.
It's actually not enough to have money. And I use myself as a cautionary tale around that. Someone mm-hmm. with excellent credit, great resume, dare I say, been in my chosen profession for a long period of time.
Right.
Tenured professor, no children, although I love children.
Yeah.
You know, exploring the world, I have a lot of resources and I have a huge track record. Mm-hmm. And it was very, very difficult for me to secure the simplest of loans in order to purchase a home, which I ultimately did for my mother.
Right.
For someone like me, if I have that much difficulty with traditional finance, we can only imagine the process for those who are not similarly situated, because I operate at the axis of many different sources of privilege.
Yes.
And yet it is not enough as a Black queer woman at the table.
Mm. And this is kind of moving off of it, but why do you think it was so difficult for them to see you as a good risk?
I think they look at the numbers and the percentages and don't see me. They have a story on their own internal ledgers mm-hmm. about what a Black woman, perhaps also queer, who is at the table at my particular age and the likelihood perhaps of default. But I will also say that is not my experience. It's actually right. not the experience of the women I know.
Right.
So I'm not quite sure who's keeping these records mm-hmm. Of information. If a white cisgendered man walked in with my portfolio,
yeah.
it would have been a very short conversation.
Yes.
But the amount of information that they wanted from me, I'm still shaking my head thinking about it because it didn't make sense. At a certain point, it literally made no sense. Yeah. And so that is when I knew for myself, if this is as difficult it is for me, mm-hmm. knowing that I actually could do an all-cash deal, I just want the benefit of OPM.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty awesome. Other people's money, for those who are not
yes.
that in the day.
I'll use your money for my house.
I'll use your money. And then I'll invest the money
and
that
then
I
I'll,
have
yes,
and make
exactly.
more money.
Yes.
And so that really set me back. And it also was the thing that as a Black woman, even before I was outwardly identifying as queer, coming up against these moments where it didn't matter that I did well in school. It didn't matter that I checked all the boxes. And mm-hmm. up until recently, I've really been a coloring inside the lines person.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that if-then proposition, and it doesn't always work out that way.
No, it doesn't. Last question about that. Did you have the realization at the beginning of this process or somewhere in the middle?
It was in the middle, for sure, because I had a lot of assets with this particular bank.
Mm-hmm.
And much of my new wealth comes from crypto.
Right.
Because I serve as the chair of a foundation, the Maker Foundation, and part of my board service is actually earning the token that is associated with this project.
Mm.
And it went from hundreds to thousands per token. It literally changed my life.
Yeah.
And so I was able to use those assets to participate more meaningfully in the crypto space and also to liquidate when I needed to pay all of my debt, all of my mother's debt, and to buy her a home.
Mm.
In a relatively short period of time. That probably is also something that gave traditional finance a side eye. First of all, they don't understand crypto.
Yeah.
Where is this money?
Mm-hmm.
What is this ledger?
Right, yeah.
Who owns what?
Right.
And why
a
don't
group
we
text.
Know? Right. It's like, never mind. Forget it. We're too far past it.
Yeah.
And so they have a lot of reservations, and that's a dramatic understatement, but it's a huge customer service issue for them now.
Mm-hmm.
For people like me, and people who are not like me who will have comeuppance, as we would say, in crypto in ways that they could never do traditionally. And final point around this is one thing I didn't mention about crypto is it's a capital asset. And so it's different being paid in dollars than earning a capital asset that has the potential to go down in value, but also has the potential upside of going up.
Mm.
And I think about the way that Black and brown communities are generally educated to, one, get education. No one can take that away from you. Buy a home, get a good government job or something like that.
Right.
And then just wait it out and get some good insurance. Mm-hmm. And you have made it, kid. You have made it. You haven't made it because even as a high income earner, you will never accumulate generational wealth just on high income.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask you about next.
Right.
Because this technology, you said, has the power to impact generational wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why that is.
Well, there are two different tracks. One is cryptocurrency or other crypto assets. Some of those you can actually use for currencies. Talked a bit about the fact that Bitcoin and things like Bitcoin that tend to emulate stores of value, like people buy them with the hope that over time, not only will they hold their value, they will appreciate markedly in value. And then you have the dollar, which is less of a dollar every year.
Right.
But you use it every day and it's a medium of account. You can count $1, $2, $3. It's a unit of exchange. Merchants accept it. They believe that it's going to hold its value over time. And you compare those types of exchanges with capital assets. People who are wealthy actually don't want a lot of income because income is taxed at a higher rate.
Yes.
So they minimize income, maximize capital assets.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the type of appreciating assets over the decades they also transfer to the next generation. So the next generation doesn't have to start over.
And then that's the generational wealth.
And that's the generational wealth because there is no starting over for another generation.
Mm-hmm.
They're at an epic deficit that leads me to the wealth gap between the Black community and the white community in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
436 years, definitely 400 plus. It would take that much time to earn that much income to catch up. And I don't know about you, but I intend to live a long time, but it's not going to be 400
no.
years. I assure
you. It will not be 400 years. And I don't think that I'd probably be cognizant of anything if I did live
like
for that long.
What is it? Right.
I want to live right now. We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered. And we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
We're kind of in a cashless society right now. Scott and I were watching the news the other day, and they were asking, imploring people to please use their coins because people are using cards and no one wants cash. And so it's a little bit like what you're talking about, right? So there won't be that unit that we're spending that we can actually see, here's $2. I'm pretending to buy something for those of you who are just listening. Right. And then here's what I get back. It'll just be
a tap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then the dollar itself will represent even less at that point, right?
Yes. Yes. There are two ways to think of that. One, you won't actually see it. Let me take one pause here to say, it appears that we live in a cashless society, and by cashless physical representation.
Right, right, yeah.
It's really still a digital veneer that is an overlay over this double entry ledger system where if I send you $100 at the end of the day, my bank is still keeping its own internal ledger of transactions and has to settle. Your bank has to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then there's a period of reconciliation. It takes a lot of time. It costs us money.
Yes.
And
we pay for that.
We pay for that.
Yeah.
And so it really is a digital veneer. It's it's an overlay. But we have a lot of progress that can be made in the decentralized finance space. And so that's the segue to the second point. We have crypto over here, which is like peer-to-peer cash, and we're doing things. Decentralized finance is literally replicating the traditional finance setup of savings and loans is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Banks want us to this frustrates me every time I get ready to say it, but I'm going to say it for you. I'm doing this for you, Laura.
Okay.
All right. Because you're about to run up my pressure when we talk about this. So the banks encourage us to save fractions of pennies on the dollar. You can have six figures. I've done this calculation. You can have six figures in the bank and still, I don't know, maybe earn six, seven, eight, $10 a year on interest. Something ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they use that. The upside for them is that they're going to loan that same money out. They want you to save it, and they want you to save it for long periods of time, right?
They incentivize it, yeah.
All of this. And it sounds great. It's not great. Mm. It's great for them.
Right.
Decentralized finance replicates that in a way that also leverages blockchain technology and this peer-to-peer stuff as well, so that someone, as long as they have Bitcoin or another popular coin, Ethereum or Ether, they can actually set it up in a way that they can take loans from themselves. It's kind of like pulling out the equity in a home.
Okay.
You have five ETH. You want to pull out some money that you can use. You, what we call stake it. That's another way of kind of saving it, taking it out of circulation. You get the equivalent of cryptocurrency, and you can use that for other things. And then you can pay yourself back, get your capital asset back, and you haven't had to liquidate, and you haven't had to involve yourself with the traditional banking system.
Okay. I didn't quite get all that, but I think I got most of it.
Yeah.
Tell me, because you did that process when you purchased the house, right?
I did not use DeFi when I did that. When I purchased the home, it really was liquidating crypto that I had accumulated over time. And using that process was what one of the things that threw the traditional finance bank off, because they always like to follow the money.
Right.
And they have a very difficult time figuring out crypto. And so that is what is more problematic.
So explain how you liquidate crypto to me and then end up with dollars.
Very important question, because this comes from going cash to crypto and then crypto to cash.
Yes.
And so I spend all of my time helping people onboard with that precise process. You can actually, if you have Cash App, you can open it up, go to your fourth tab and buy it. And then we could talk about what you do with it afterwards. But you are using...
I do.
Okay.
So, yes.
All right. We're going to do it.
Okay.
You're going to be my star pupil today.
All right.
So you have to, at some point in time, onboard. You, at some point, have to exchange one type of currency for another. If you were visiting a foreign country, you would do the same thing. In this instance, we're using fiat or government-issued currency. You use dollars, you buy $10 worth of Bitcoin. And that's your entrance, or some other crypto, but that's your entry point. When you are ready to offboard, meaning leave the crypto space and liquidate back into fiat, then you would do the same thing. And there are all these crypto exchanges. Gemini is a good example. Some people use Coinbase. I have some issues with Coinbase because I don't know how egalitarian that platform is, but it's one of the most popular. And so, you know, people should DYOR, do your own research. But there are a number of very prominent exchanges where you can exchange your fiat currency for crypto. And that's your real entry point in. One final thing I will say about that, not all platforms are created equally. Cash App is the type of, and I don't have any dog in the fight for this. This is just one of the easiest ways for people to get involved. You can remove Bitcoin that you purchase on the Cash App into your own personal wallet. And we do have to, before we get out of here, spend some time about wallets. Because the other thing is, okay, I have it on an exchange. Where do I keep it? And that's the next really important step. There are some platforms that don't allow you to pull off your cryptocurrency. Robinhood, PayPal, they are in the market to allow people to purchase, but you can't actually pull your cryptocurrency off. And so a lot of people have been disillusioned with that process because not all platforms are created equally.
Right.
And that can be problematic. If you think you're going to own Bitcoin in certain environments, that is something that you have to be careful of.
Tell me those companies again.
Robinhood, as of now, I know that they are working on a solution to enable people to do that.
Yeah.
Currently speaking, that does not exist. And PayPal.
The Kwanzaa principles. I just think this is brilliant. Can you just tell me a little bit how you connect these two? The principles of Kwanzaa, which is an African-American holiday.
Yes.
That was invented sometime after I was born.
Oh, I can't exactly say that, but around the time, perhaps.
It was like in the 70s. Early 70s. It's not a religious holiday based in anything other than it happens around in December, when a lot of other holidays that we celebrate happen. So it has principles. A lot of little Black children that I know are named after these principles.
Absolutely.
Yes. So can you talk a little bit about that and how it relates to crypto?
Yeah. So when I think of the community that evolved on the crypto side, there are a lot of commonalities in the African-American tradition of cooperative economics, collective work and responsibility, and the community aspect of celebration and self-reliance.
Yeah.
I think that is a common thread throughout all of the different Kwanzaa principles. You think of faith and unity. And it was just this perfect overlay for me. And it really started to make sense because I am constantly speaking to Black and brown communities about why this makes sense. And so trying to align the community principles in Black and brown communities with the crypto community, that was an easier conversation to have.
Yes, there's a bridge there.
There's a bridge there.
And people can connect that way. I love that. These are a couple headlines that you and I talked about just quickly. Visa just unveiled layer two, that's in quotes, network for stablecoins, central bank currencies. That was big news. Billionaire Chamath Palihapitiya says that Bitcoin has effectively replaced gold. That was a headline on an article about him and his feelings about Bitcoin and crypto. And in June, El Salvador's parliament approved a law to allow crypto money to be accepted as tender for all goods and services, along with the U.S. dollar. The World Bank has rejected a request from El Salvador for assistance in its bid to adopt Bitcoin as currency, citing environmental and transparency shortcomings, which sounds very vague to me.
everyone to talk about the impact to the environment and to macroeconomics, and we should just look at traditional finance.
Yeah.
There's quite a bit of electricity that is plugged in order to make this entire system work. Let's compare apples to apples. But it is interesting to see countries. This will be interesting to see what goes on with El Salvador, because unfortunately, the population is not well positioned to take advantage of it. But the idea in the abstract is an interesting one, but you have to educate people to be able to use it.
Right.
Let's be cautiously, I don't even know, optimistic, but let's take a look. It's the first. It may not be the last, but you want to make sure that your community is sufficiently situated in order to take advantage of it. And the rollout was very clunky.
Right, right.
When I think about gold, you mentioned this idea of Bitcoin replacing gold. The reason is Bitcoin is hard capped at 21 million coins that will ever be in circulation. Almost 19 million of them are already in circulation, which is another powerful proposition for the rest of the world. The folks who are not intermediaries, not big bank, not governments, hold most of the Bitcoin.
Wow.
No government will ever own most of the Bitcoin unless they steal it all from everybody and there would be mass anarchy in the world.
Interesting.
So that's a power move for Bitcoin that is not the same for other types of crypto that may not have a hard cap.
Right. And the point in just even reading about El Salvador and Visa and just like this is happening.
This is happening.
And it may not happen the way that it could happen in El Salvador, but attention is being paid and people are turning to this as a solution.
Right.
As Scott and I would like to.
Let's go.
So this brings me to, let's say that Scott and I have, hon, how much money should we say?
Go big or go home.
Let's say $10,000.
Oh, no. Let's say $50,000.
Okay.
She said go big.
Okay.
All right. We can go $100K.
So this is hypothetical.
Okay,
let's say we have our $50,000 between us. We've each put in $25 in dollars, and it's in the bank, and we want to now invest it in crypto. And I know that you said that we could do it on the Cash App, but if you were going to guide us through this, what would we do with our $50,000?
Well, you wouldn't be buying $50,000 worth of Bitcoin on Cash App. They have definite caps. And so
all right. So that wouldn't be an option. Okay, money.
So we put that one to the side.
Okay.
The first thing, I want you to take a step back and see how that amount of money factors into your entire portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And to ensure that if you woke up one day and the lights went out on Bitcoin, that you wouldn't, you know, take a slow walk off a short period.
Right.
A long walk off a short period.
Yes. Right. Let's just say for discussion's sake that it's not life-changing for
that
us.
That is correct.
Okay.
It's a nice to have.
Yes.
Particularly at that level. Mm-hmm. Now, I say that everybody should find a way to participate in some way because you can buy very, very small amounts. You don't have to buy $41,000 coin, but let's take the 50. You're going to first have to set up an exchange account.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked a bit about the types of exchanges, and part of that is signing up. This space is actually regulated.
Mm.
A lot of times people say it's unregulated, it's unwieldy, and it's crazy. No. In order to set up one of these exchange accounts, you have to provide some basic information. You have to give a copy of your driver's license or some other way to verify because of know your customer anti-money laundering laws or KYC AML.
Oh.
You do all that. I had to get comfortable with that. I did not like that part.
No.
At all.
And but so if you did it, I feel more comfortable doing it.
Okay. It took me a long time. And doing the research and doing the hard work initially to make sure that people had a better experience than I did is what I'm 100% committed to doing. You'll go through, figure out which exchange is best for you, and then you would set that up. And then it's as simple as linking your account, your fiat account, the routing and banking number. It connects to your exchange account. Transfer in either by wire or ACH, and that money is sent to the platform for you to then purchase. I use the term purchase as opposed to investing because we're exchanging currencies. Is what
right,
we're doing.
Right,
right.
Yes.
And so that would be the entry point. You would decide what you're going to buy. And so that's a slight process, but most people are going to buy Bitcoin first.
Mm-hmm.
That is where I recommend people start.
Okay.
And then just sit. Sit for a while.
What's a while?
Well, put it this way, you know, I said that there are just south of 19 million Bitcoin in circulation, and it is a little too technical to talk about how long it will take for 21 million.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'm don't see any reason to sell Bitcoin anytime soon.
Okay.
This is not financial or legal advice. Mm-hmm. This is for educational purposes
right.
only.
This is just for Scott and Laura.
But there's no there's no hurry here. Mm-hmm. And I also say it's not about timing the market. Mm-hmm. People think, well, you know, the next time Bitcoin drops, I'll be sure to buy it. No. This is a 24/7, 365 environment. This is the market that never sleeps.
Okay.
Which is another thing I like. You don't have to wait for the holiday or the weekend mm-hmm. or banker's hours. No. Right? But you want to get in because it's not about timing the market, but time in the market.
Right.
In the same way, and I educate my students about this, dollar cost averaging is really important for retirement benefits, for example. So a 401k, a 403b, it's just a little bit or a lot of bit every month. It's mm-hmm. set it and forget it. I don't even actually know how much goes in.
Yeah.
Because the point of it, it's you're holding for the long haul.
Yes.
And I would encourage you to think about it that way as well. And there are two things. Buying the dip. Sometimes you'll have a price that's 41,000 one day and 31,000 the next day. Mm-hmm. Some people say it's a crash and it's over. The rest of us say it's a buying opportunity mm-hmm. to get more
yeah.
at the same amount.
Yeah.
It's dollar cost averaging over time. And those are the ways that I would think about it. And then the final point, let's spend some time figuring out what a wallet is.
Yes, tell me that.
The most important thing about self-sovereignty in the financial world is not relying on other people to hold your money and to dictate when you have access to your money. That requires you to have your own wallet.
So this is like no brokers, no investors.
No investors.
So this is you. You're in charge of the money you've invested.
That's correct.
The money you've purchased.
That's correct.
Yes. Okay.
And so think of a wallet as a rough analogy to an account at a bank. And that is where you're going to maintain your control over your crypto. Mm-hmm. And it's not the money that is in the wallet. You know, that's like a rough analogy. And we say wallet, it makes you think you're putting something in.
Right.
What is contained in the wallet is something known as your private key. I'm looking at it. Are you ready to go with me?
I am.
This is just going to take 35 seconds.
I'm right here.
I want
I'm
you
here
to stay with
it.
Me right yes. now. This is very important, Laura.
Okay.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Think of it this way. You have a house mm-hmm. and it has an address. Mm-hmm. If you want someone to send you something, you give them the public address.
Yes.
You're the only one who has access to your mailbox. Let's use that if you had a mailbox analogy. So while everybody could know your public address for purposes of sending you information, mm-hmm. you're the only one who can actually have access to that information. The same way, start to think about the public address of your wallet. You want me to send you a Bitcoin, you're going to have to tell me your public address.
Right.
Your wallet controls your private key, so only you have access to it. You are the one who digitally signs if it is to be transferred somewhere else. And it is a very, very powerful way to exercise ownership control over your crypto. And the final point around that, when you send your money or crypto into an exchange, you temporarily lose control of it. And if you've heard a lot of the hacks that go on mm-hmm. for a centralized exchange, we have centralized exchanges in the crypto space, Coinbase, Gemini, eToro, all of them. They're centralized. It's an IOU. You send it and said, okay, you sent me a Bitcoin. We're going to transfer it over to Gemini. We're going to sell, and then we're going to give it back to you. The way that they give it back to you is to send it to your wallet. You must have a wallet. Mm-hmm. If you leave it on an exchange, and this just happened to Coinbase holders, about 6,000 people actually lost their funds on the major exchange in the crypto space because of a technical glitch there with their two-factor authentication. It's one of the biggest exchanges in the world. Mm. Do not leave your crypto on these exchanges, not mm-hmm. more than you would lose sleep over. Mm-hmm. But this is the blessing and the curse, because if you lose control of your wallet, that's a sad thing.
Yes.
And it's not like carrying $500 or $50, $500, $5,000 in a physical wallet,
right.
which is also a sad day.
Oh, yes.
But it's not your $50,000 because
right.
there's no one to call to get it back. And so that's why I tell people to go slowly, mm-hmm. but go.
Yeah.
Do not sit on the sidelines and wait till you understand everything in the space. Connect with great people like me
yes.
in order to help you navigate. But every day that you are not in this and participating meaningfully is mm-hmm. another day that you're behind. And this is not going anywhere, as you said earlier. Mm-hmm. This is the new reality for the future of wealth and work, creativity. I'd love to talk at another time about non-fungible tokens in the creative space.
Yeah,
this is it. And we're still early. Even mm-hmm. though it's been 12 years since Bitcoin was first on the scene, about 7 since Ether, the next type of cryptocurrency. Mm. Now there are over 12,000 different types of crypto assets.
Wow.
So that's why you have to pace yourself.
Yes.
But this is a really exciting time with great opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I want us to lean in and really shift our mindset about what is possible when you have control over yourself, your finances, and your future that doesn't depend on someone who doesn't want you to participate in the first place.
Right. So instead of giving my money to a bank, getting paid bupkas,
which is a technical
Yiddish term, and having them use my money to make more money, I'm purchasing money. I'm letting it sit just for the discussion's sake. Letting it sit there. Is it like the key? Is it like a password?
It is. It's a good way to think of it. Well, the key itself is this long alphanumeric string.
Okay.
The way you set it up, you have what's called seed words, either 12 words or 24 words to set up an account. There are different types of wallets. So you can have an app on your phone. Uh-huh. You can have a hard, what we call a cold storage wallet. So it looks like a USB key. That you can, and you don't really want it to be connected to the internet unless you're actually using it. I used to be really afraid of losing those things. It's not about the hardware because I can always replace it as long as I have my seed words.
Okay.
And that's something you want to keep very tight if you have, you know, a safe or someone.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing that you really need to focus on. But yes, it comes down to the seed phrase password that gives you the unique ability to transact.
Right. And so then Scott and I purchased this 50 grand. It's where it needs to be. We have our wallet with our seed words, our key, and we decided we want to buy a speedboat.
Mm-hmm.
I have two questions. We want to use that currency. Mm-hmm. Does it build while it's in there?
It does.
It does.
As long as you hold it, absolutely.
Okay.
You'll experience the upside and the downside.
Right, right. Just like the regular.
That's right.
So then we just transfer it. Mm-hmm. At that point, we have less there. We have more over here. We can purchase it. Then we can buy more.
That's correct.
For my money, I do have a broker. There's no equivalent in the crypto world. Is there like an advisor? Because I know that you teach, obviously, to the very, very fortunate students at Penn, right?
At Penn State Dickinson Law School.
Penn State Dickinson Law School. So they get to take your course. You've taught this other places as well?
Yes.
But how do people like Scott and I find someone to help us with this? And then what is that person called?
So I'm sure that there will be a number of people and institutions that are happy at a premium to teach you. I have Advantage Evans Academy that has free 99 masterclasses all the way up to higher engagement. And I'm not the only one in the space that does this. When I first started, I went to YouTube University. Back to Web 2.0, there's a ton of information out there.
Okay.
My job is to curate it, to start to help people learn the language.
Yes.
Institutions are providing information to their high net worth individuals quietly. Deutsche Bank, Bank of America is interested in doing this. They are providing these services for their high net worth clients quietly. Because don't tell anyone.
Right.
So for the 99%, we are relegated to YouTube and Advantage Evans Academy. And there are a ton of books. There is so much free information out there to figure out how to quickly just get involved. Your question about being a savvy purchaser to figure out this coin or that coin, this token or that token, I wouldn't be at liberty to, you know, share in this space because I don't want to give anyone some type of endorsement. But you don't need all of that to make sound decisions in the beginning. When you get in and get comfortable, there's a natural progression of your learning curve that will lead you to the projects that make sense. Does this sound like something that's really interesting, that has a great backing? Does it involve really great people? Does it have a sense of community? Does it have an historical arc that you can look at over time?
Yeah.
Go to coinmarketcap.com. They're not selling anything, but this is one of those places where you can get all of the information about every single coin or token in the space and see the historical data that can, you'll start to get some perspective about the different types of tokens out there.
Okay.
But start slowly. Most people say they're going to do it and they don't do it. All right. Now,
we're going to.
I'm going to come back in a year.
Right, hon?
Yes, and we're going to call you because we have you on our show, so yes, we have a little inside.
We have an end.
We have the bat line.
And you know, I think that the subject is big enough that we could bring you back and really talk about
things.
Oh
my goodness.
As they
please.
Continue.
We didn't even talk about NFTs. Like,
it's huge.
And now we're actually at time.
Right.
I'm going to ask you, first of all, where can people find you? Because they're going to want to. You're going to be deluged with people.
Please. That would be my absolute pleasure at AdvantageEvans.com. That's mm-hmm. AdvantageEvans.com. And that has links to everything, Tech Intersect podcast, the master classes, the full courses. There is something for everyone. You absolutely can do this. It's a mindset shift to recognize your power. You have this power, but you always had it, Dorothy.
Yes. There's no place like home. And then just really quickly, is there some project that's next for you or something that you're excited about coming up?
I'm really excited about the Decode the Future course that I'm running. I do that on a quarterly basis. I'm currently doing small group cohorts because I found that's the best way to really connect. Mm-hmm. I'm there. We talk about a topic. I curate content. They go through the modules, but we engage on a monthly basis.
Nice.
So that's the deeper dive. Once you purchase, yes. I'm not letting you in until you purchase
right.
first.
There you go. There you go. Well, you have converted us to Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Just like dollars to Bitcoins.
I'm a little less afraid of it.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I know. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
This is... Gosh, it's been not only an education, but just a really great conversation with someone who came up in this world and understands it and can impart the wisdom to people like us who know nothing about it. And you're awesome.
Oh.
You're awesome. I'm in awe of what you do and who you are and really feel blessed that you came to sit down with us. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible brand new Only One interview. And every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading something that I love. If you have an Only One story you'd like to share or a piece of writing you'd like to submit, please send it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.